I didn't steal the money. That's the sentence I repeat when my chest tightens. I didn't steal it, I redirected it. I didn't lie, I summarized. I didn't hurt anyone, I optimize outcomes. Those distinctions mattered to me. Until the night I watched a woman lose everything at a card table funded by donations meant to lift her out of poverty. The room was loud in the way desperation always is. Laughter that came too late. Applause that sounded rehearsed. I stood behind a glass partition, anonymous, protected by process, watching the numbers scroll on a screen I had helped design. Small loans, rapid approvals, no collateral, dignity preserved. That was the language. That was the miracle. I remember the exact moment my certainty cracked. It wasn't when the losses mounted. It wasn't when the dealer smiled. It was when I realized the system wasn't being abused. It was functioning exactly as intended. I had told myself this was about access, about trust, about believing in people when banks wouldn't. But trust, once automated, stops caring where it lands, and belief, when scaled, becomes permission. I stayed until the end. I always do. I tell myself it's responsibility, oversight, but that night, watching the final balance hit zero, I felt something colder settle in. Not guilt, recognition, the sick awareness that I wasn't witnessing a failure. I was witnessing proof. The first time I heard the phrase microloan miracle, it made me laugh. It sounded like branding trying too hard, but I learned quickly that the right words could open doors faster than any credential. We weren't just offering money, we were offering hope in digestible amounts. $50, $100, just enough to feel transformative, not enough to feel dangerous. My role was technical, at least on paper. I worked on risk modeling, approval thresholds, behavioral indicators. The system learned fast, faster than we expected. Patterns emerged, repayment habits, spending clusters, emotional triggers disguised as data points. Every borrower became a story reduced to probability. The donors loved the dashboards, green arrows, impact metrics, photos of smiling recipients holding receipts, standing beside sewing machines or produce carts. We curated the images carefully, authentic, but not too complex. No one wants to see ambiguity when they're buying virtue. At first, the anomalies were easy to dismiss. A loan used at a casino ATM, another at an online betting platform. Statistically insignificant, I said. Noise. Poverty doesn't come with financial literacy by default, and we told ourselves that freedom meant choice, even bad ones. Then the clusters grew. Certain regions, certain times. Loans issued on Fridays, spiking in entertainment spending by Saturday morning. The model flagged it. Attuned the sensitivity down. Not because I was told to, because I understood what would happen if I didn't. Questions lead to meetings. Meetings lead to pauses. Pauses threaten momentum, and momentum was everything. We were expanding. Headlines were waiting. I remember drafting a memo, reframing the data. Short-term relief behaviors, I called it coping expenditures. Language is elastic if you pull gently enough. No one challenged it. That's the part that still bothers me. Not that they trusted me, but how eager they were to. The first audit request came from outside, a journalist. Polite, curious, dangerous in the way only reasonable people are. She didn't accuse. She asked how we ensured funds weren't misused. I sent her the same slides we sent donors. Success rates, repayment curves, testimonials. She asked for raw data. I told her we protected borrower privacy. Which was true, and incomplete. Privacy had become a convenient wall, one I had helped fortify. Internally, we joked about how clean our story was. No coercion, no force, just opportunity. But opportunity has gravity. It pulls hardest on people already leaning toward. I started visiting field sites more often. Not officially. I wanted to see what the data couldn't show me. In one city, a local partner walked me through a community center that doubled as a gaming hall at night. The same phones used to apply for loans were used to place bets. The same optimism fueled both acts. People need release, he told me. This is their release. I nodded. I had nodded so many times it felt automatic. What I didn't say was that our algorithms had begun to favor repeat borrowers with volatile spending patterns, high engagement, fast turnaround, loss followed by reapplication. The system didn't care why money moved, only that it did. We were no longer alleviating poverty. We were circulating it. When I adjusted the model again, it wasn't to stop the flow, it was to stabilize it. Fewer catastrophic losses, more frequent small ones. Sustainability, I told myself. Harm reduction. That was the moment complicity stopped being abstract. I wasn't reacting anymore. I was shaping outcomes. And the system rewarded me for it. The night I returned to the gaming hall, I wasn't there to observe. I was there to confirm something I already knew. I watched a borrower I recognized from the data, a perfect curve, clean repayments, lose 3 loans in under an hour. Each time her phone vibrated with approval before she'd even stood up. The miracle worked faster now. I could have stopped it. Not globally, not dramatically, but locally. A flag, a delay, a human pause. I had the access. I always had. Instead, I stood still. I told myself intervention would humiliate her, that autonomy mattered, that this wasn't my decision to make. Those thoughts arrived smoothly, rehearsed, like lines I'd practiced without realizing it. When she left, empty-handed, the system logged the event as neutral. No alerts, no red flags, just data folding back into itself. I submitted my resignation a month later, quietly, no statement, no exposé. I cited burnout. Everyone understood. They always do. The platform still runs. Donors still give. The dashboards are brighter than ever. Somewhere, a woman is being approved for help that will disappear by morning. I don't tell people what I did, not because I'm afraid of consequences, but because explaining would require claiming I didn't see it coming, and that would be the final lie. I didn't steal the money. I just made sure it found its way to the table.